Brian Little says he's hopeful to play on Saturday. Is that the timeline you're seeing?
No, that's Brian saying he's hoping he's ready to play Saturday, you know, get through practice. He's been skating for a while, so that's the positive, right? It's upper body, so his legs should be where they need to be. He'll have to get through a practice of bumping and pushing back and feeling strong, and if he does that, we'll wait till the next day to see how he comes in and make a decision.
Any change on Bufflin's status?
Nothing yet. See, they're all in that same kind of, they get through a practice and feel really good, and then we have to see how they feel 24 hours later before we decide if we're doing it again or if they're available to play.
Is there a is the home record improving the way it has just a reflection of the team playing the way you want them to play more than anything specific about being here?
I don't know is the honest answer. When we feel good at home. Haven't stood behind the bench thinking, man, I can't wait to get on the road. Like, this is a good building, right? And then we feel good at home, but I also feel the same way on the road. It doesn't. My sense of the players' mood and energy level hasn't been reflected by where the games are played.
Last
should have just stuck with I don't know.
That's a better clip with a bit
there
more, though.
Go.
Yeah. Last night you said after the game, you know, there were some minor coaches things in the last 30 minutes of the game. From an analytics point of view, there's going to be that kind of, you know, score difference in shots.
Yep.
It's kind of a human nature thing. How much can you coach to make that different? Or is it just going to be that way?
My overview today, we played better than I thought coming off the bench. That's usually when you're disappointed about something. Now, there's no emotion then, right? When you're watching the game the next day, you know what the outcome's going to be. And we've had a bunch of 20 shots against, and we lose the game. So I have to take all those things with a grain of salt. The game changes at 5-1. It's not the same kind of game played by both teams. So we'll look to the specifics of positioning, decision-making as an area that maybe we can get a little better at. But we were better in the back half of that game than I felt from the bench.
Are you optimistic, or will all of the players that missed practice today be available tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't.
I think you had seven
guys. I don't
guys.
Think there are any question marks for the guys who didn't skate today. Some of it's minutes, some of it's maintenance, some of it's minor things we're trying to get ahead on.
Paul, I think I know your answer to this, but would it mean anything more to beat St. Louis, or does it feel like they've just had your number? Because you play them so tight, but just can't get that win.
No, I haven't felt that. You know, we look forward to the game against them. They've been great hockey games. There's not that feeling. There's going to be a team on your list that you have a hard time beating for whatever reason. And usually those, the styles don't match up, or the games, you're never happy with the games. I don't know if I have an example. I haven't been here long enough to know, but I've liked the games against St. Louis, liked all of them. I felt that both teams play real hard. They seem to be close. So I don't have that feeling with them.
Is there an attribute to Chris Thorburn's game? Everybody, he seems to understand who he is, but he's always telling me that given a role, he feels he can do more offensively, do what. What do you like about Chris Thorburn, and what kind of player is he?
I like different elements that he can bring. So he's, for a big man, he moves really well. He gets in on the forecheck. He can handle himself. It's not an easy thing to go blocks of time and not take a shift and then go out and be good. He has that strength as a pro to be able to sit for a little bit on that bench and come out and play well. Interacts with his players and his teammates, part of that room as much as anybody. Really outgoing in there, well-liked because of his professionalism. And he's a version. We talk about Mike Frolik. Chris gets a lot of different lines thrown at him a lot and plays left and right wing depending on whatever we need him. And it doesn't affect him. So it doesn't. He had to run a bunch of games in the 12 to 14 minute mark, and then you know, the trades happened, and he got bumped down. Didn't affect his game. He doesn't let that bother him. He doesn't lose confidence when that happens.
There are guys like Chris and Matt Halaschuk and probably TJ Gagliardi think they can do more than they're being asked. How hard of a balance is that to have those guys ready at the goal, like you said, sitting for pockets of time, but also not, you know, pushing the envelope going, hey, give me a shot.
So you want every guy in your room to think he can do more given the opportunity. Injuries usually allow that to happen, and he has done more. It crosses a line sometimes when they force more with the puck in plays, either with the guys they're playing with, who they're playing against. But when you get the right matchup, the players in the first line play against first line players, and everybody has the opportunity to play against people in their skill level. Specifically to him, Chris has just been a real important player in us surviving the injuries that we have, because our room doesn't change as much. So he's in there, and he's a big part of that room preparing for games. Real big part on the bench, saying the right things when they need to be said. That's an important part of who we are anyway, and he's a big piece of that.
Coach, would you refresh our memories on your own experience of having hundreds of thousands of people looking over your shoulder on your goaltending decision every night?
Yeah. You guys are going to take this personally, and it's not meant to be personal, all right? I have no idea. I really don't. It doesn't affect my day, so I don't have a Twitter account. I don't. I think there are some with my names on them. I've never looked at it. I don't have a Facebook page where I'm posting the pictures of the goalies or who's playing. I don't. I listen to music in the car, and then I watch hockey games, and none of the other telecasts in the games I'm watching talk about who I'm playing in goal. So it doesn't affect my day. Not one bit.
How much since last week have you been pushing or challenging Andre Pavlik?
Private conversations. I mean, other than the coffee machine in the morning, we're not crossing paths a whole lot. I don't understand what they do for a living other than they stop them or they don't. Wade's done a real good job handling both guys all year, understanding their different personalities and what they need. Got enough experience to know that, to think anyway, that veteran players handle certain challenges, not even just by the coach, just what the challenges of games have brought to his doorstep, how they handle them, how they can handle them, and maybe a respect for when they do handle them, what that can do for their confidence and what that can do for their game. Other than that, I wouldn't say I had a speech for him.
And then from left field, based on the decisions apparently made at the general manager's meetings yesterday, your view on 3-on-3 in overtime, and then the possibility that you yourself will have an opportunity to challenge a goaltender interference or a puck over the glass?
Well, I like the idea of the 3-on-3. I'm all for. I'm all for an exciting conclusion. The least of which, from my point of view, is the shootout. Yet, and I've told this story before, but because it was so true to me, one of the lockouts I used to drive from Raleigh to Norfolk to watch American Hockey League games. It's 3 hours one way. I got kicked out of the house, so I used to drive there. You drive 3 hours to watch a hockey game. I didn't want to see a tie. I mean, I had no skin in the game. I didn't care, so I'm just a fan for the most part. I'm watching hockey. I'm scouting players. I wanted to see the shootout. So I have to say, from that point of view, we need to have an exciting conclusion to our games. So if there's a better way, I think 3-on-3 is a far more exciting, from my point of view. I'm all for it. 2-on-2, 1-on, whatever you want, anything other than that. But short of us coming up with a better solution, I think the shootout's got to stay. As far as the coach's challenge, I got a slightly different view. I'm open to, let's work back. The decision's going to be made somewhere else. It's not the coach makes the challenge, the ref comes over and says, I think you're right. So they're going to work really hard to get it right somewhere. Then why wouldn't we just do that all the time? So at the end of the day, if once a year Toronto is going to look at the video, make the decision that's goaltender interference or not, why does the coach throwing a flag have anything to do with it? We'll just make that call. If we can get it right that way, and that's the right way, and that's the process that we're going to use to get it right, why wouldn't we do that? I don't think there's any more delay. By the time it got to the bench and I radio my video guy what happened on the play, because I've got like the second worst seats in the house, I got him wiring back, we're 15-25. I'm going to have a window right after the goal. They're going to give me a little time to fire that flag. They fire the flag, they skate over. The guys in Toronto have already watched it 15 times. They're already halfway into that decision process. The vast majority of goals don't have anything to do with goalie interference. So for me, and the puck over the glass, I can't tell most times. I mean, it's clean, you see it. Anything that's 50-50, we can't tell, we're throwing the flag. But they're already looking at that, right? So if the process goes, it goes upstairs to get it right, then why wouldn't we just do that all the time? Why do you need a coach to challenge the play?
From a coach's standpoint, would you be okay with, as far as the delay of game, where if the four officials got together and couldn't clearly say that it went over the glass, there was just automatically no penalty?
Well,
versus a delay for reviewing or whatever, where if it?
No, I mean, I think by the time the four guys have a powwow and decide, they've already looked at the two or three angles that they have. I think it maybe you would use the same thing as a goal, right? If they call it no goal, then it has to be overturned. So they make the call on the ice, come up with it, and then if they can't overturn it, that one's going to be tough because there's a lot you can't tell. I mean, we go back on some of the calls and look at them from the angles that we get, the program feeds that we get in our other angles. You can't tell. And so it's tough for the officials to tell, too. You know, I mean, so I would leave it as, you know, let the ruling on the ice stand and take your 10, 15 seconds. It's not like it happens 10 times a game. We'll go whole games where that never comes apart. Some of them are so clear that, you know, I don't think that's much of a delay of game. I think our game's pretty quick now. Taking an extra 5 or 10 seconds, I just think the coach's challenge delays it longer than it has to. Just make that part of the video review. Well, it depends on how they structure that, right? You know, I don't know if that costs you your timeout or you get one or you get two. Those things that have to get hammered out. Is it going to be a flag? Is it going to be how are they going to do that? Because you know it's coming out if you're in a bad mood. You're down 4-1. There's going to be a challenge on something halfway across the ice. Some profanity to follow.